CliffCentral.com.
Yes, that is correct. That 80s show, which is on this morning. You don't want to miss it if you're into nostalgia. And speaking of nostalgia, Ben and I were talking about music and kind of how old music seems to be outselling new music. We were also talking about how some of the old stuff is coming back, and it's really great to see. But I do want to throw this in quickly, and Ben, maybe you've got a comment on this too. Look who arrived at the Glastonbury Festival.
Oh, fuck.
That little hobbit... evil golem hobbit of electricity and the antithesis of, like, you know, modern civilization and society, Greta Thunberg. And people clapped for her and applauded for her. They don't seem to realize that the reason they're paying more for petrol is partly her fault in places like England and America. They don't. How can you be so pig ignorant that you want to give this horrible little girl who's just an attention-seeking pain in the ass, who scolded everybody in Europe and America into, you must get into clean energy. How dare you? This little troll is the one who got everybody into the shit that we're in now, where everyone in the world's reliant on oil and gas like never before, and Russia is a large part of that. And it's her fault, and yet she's going out on stage at Glastonbury like some kind of superhero. Please.
Anyway, What's on that piece of paper that George Soros has given her?
Well, who knows, but it does say Greta on stage at Glastonbury looking like a young meatloaf about to belt out Bat Out of Hell. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. All right.
No, but really, what is that little troll going to say to a crowd? I'm intrigued.
It's something that's written, for
her. She has nothing to say.
But listen, we're in a world which completely upside down, where some... person who's completely unqualified, who's too young to be telling anyone, especially the adults, what to do, is taken seriously. Whatever's written on that paper is pure propaganda, attention-seeking, and nonsense. And we should ignore her from this point on. She's done nothing but cause trouble. Should be ignored from the beginning. Anyway, let us move on. We've got Gord Laws here to join us, and I'm very pleased to see Gordo. Hello, Gord!
Speaking of pure propaganda and attention-seeking nonsense, hey, dude.
How are you, dude?
Hey, good.
Fantastic. I could be asleep, which would be better, but I'm not. I'm here with you. Oh. Well, look at that jacket.
It took 40 seconds for Gord to say, oh, it's too early.
Well,
it's not too early. It's just right, Ben. Any time is Ben time. That's what I've always said.
Gordo,
that is a jacket. Are the people aware, the ones that can only hear us, of how spectacularly spectacular that garment is, Gary?
Yeah, I've really given him gears about it.
It's a hell of a thing. I mean, that thing is so loud, I can't hear you talk.
I've decided on Fridays I'm wearing the worst outfit I can find in my cupboard every Friday. So get ready. There's going to be more. So, Gord, I saw you got to Old Trafford, which was a bit of a pilgrimage for you. How was that?
I've been once before. My dad and my uncle took me when I was 16, which is like in the 1930s. And, yeah, it was great. It was very good. It was the only good thing about Manchester. That place, God forgot about. On the eighth day, God just spent the whole time making Manchester shite.
So tell me why it's
There's nothing redeeming about it. It's the worst place I've ever been, and I'm from Johannesburg.
Why is Manchester so shit?
Oh, my God. Like, it's some sort of, like, mutant apocalypse, post-apocalyptic. Firstly, it's Facebook, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And if it's not Facebook, it's gray. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I've tried to reconcile the fact that I'm trying to be accepting of all people and, like, open-minded and also not ethnocentric or xenophobic. So let me say that it's very diverse. There are fucking awful people of every description, every shade of color, like... If you just take the shittest people from all parts of the world and drop them in one place, you've got Manchester. I'm honestly convinced it's purgatory. Like, nothing about it is good. And it sounds like I'm exaggerating. I'm not. I can't. I'd have to be like Rembrandt to paint how shit it is. I just can only describe it and hope that the pale comparison does justice to the sheer awfulness of Manchester. And, like, there's two speeds of people.
Yeah.
Like, dressed in some fluffy bikini thing with like puffed up everything in orange. Like, and also before anybody cancels me for it, like people wanting to do cosmetic things to make themselves look better. It's not for me to say how men, women, anyone should look if they want to look at, feel attractive. But when 16-year-olds have got their lips done and more of them have than haven't, I got to wonder what's in the water. It is just depressing. It's like some sort of nuclear wasteland. It's the worst place I've ever been. It's just this whole air of aggression. So you've got people in tragically bad fashion who are better than you and people who just look pissed off. And those are your two different like speeds of human in Manchester.
Sounds bloody awful.
And it's like, I like the UK. I really do. I enjoy it. Some people have got a problem with it. You know, talking about I'm in London and some people are like, ah, it's the worst place on earth. Some people are like, ah, it's so much fun. It's different everywhere, but it always feels like England. And if you go half an hour up the road to Liverpool, where they've got like an actual city and like a vibrant and there's old buildings and stuff, it's so close by. It's like closer to Manchester than Pretoria is to Joburg, but it's a different planet. You're back in England and it's English, and whatever problems or fondness you have for England there in Liverpool, you feel like an English city. Manchester's just face brick boxes full of sadness.
Oh, and my God.
I don't know, some sort of mutation issue in the water.
Now, Gord, I would love to know, okay, so Cristiano Ronaldo is the richest guy, basically, with abs. And he chose to go back to Manchester to play football. Like, I go, what does he do? Like, does he just fly out of there every day after training to go somewhere else?
Helicopters.
Dude, I honestly don't know. Like, you know, people are always be like, oh, my God, now don't you hate your football team? I'm like, no, it's like not about the town that it's in. And also, you know, there's a football team in Manchester I've always hated. And Liverpool's got one I hate and one that I'm quite fond of. So part of the history of Manchester United is that it was built by like the railway workers and the dock
industrial
workers
revolution,
and the factory
yeah.
workers. It's like put together by like the working folk and built by the people. So the fact that it's sprung up out of
that's
a
why it looks so shit. If you ask me, the working classes have no ability to define what looks nice and what doesn't. That's why. Thank
see,
God.
That's not
thank
the point
God.
That I'm trying to make. There's no excuse. There's plenty of industrial cities.
Thank goodness for
Liverpool is also a port city that's built out of industrial history. There's no excuse for Manchester being so shit and Liverpool being so nice. Where
no
if you shout loudly enough from Manchester, you can hear it in Liverpool.
No one in the world goes to visit England as a tourist to see the places that were built by the working classes. Everyone in the world goes to England to see what was built by the aristocracy.
Well, a beautiful thing springing up out of a shithole is part of what's like, for, to me, romantic about the football team. It was the only nice time that I had while I was there. And dude, like the level of domestic disturbance, I'm like, you know, staying in an Airbnb and it's like on a block, it's like rows of houses and stuff, kind of similar to what I was doing in London for some of the time. And like, people are just having screaming fights in front of their kids. I'm out at in the city center, which is the only place I felt like I might get mugged so far traveling the EU and Europe. And this two kids are like trying hard. They're strategizing a proper way to kill a pigeon. And their parents are just sitting there having a fight. Oh, I'm going to leave. Leave then. Wolf, leave. I am. I'm just like, because your children are trying to kill a bird. In the road. How is this okay? Anyway, I've never been more eager to get out of a place in my life.
Oh my,
I can't understand it. I went to visit my cousin who lives even closer than Liverpool in Wigan. And you immediately, as soon as you're out of the city, and Wigan is a small town. It's a mining town. It's little. It's like not supposed to be fancy, but it was charming and villagey. Mm. And it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's right there. It's not even far away. It's like going from Kyle Army to Johannesburg.
Yeah.
I can't understand it.
Well, I mean, this is what happens when, you know, when socialism comes into a world. It removes all the beauty, all the grace, all the charm, and just puts people in, like, equal housing. None of it's really grand. None of it's very beautiful. But everybody gets the same. They try to make it a reasonable accommodation for everyone. Water and electricity, basic services. But there's no charm. There's no thought, there's no art, there's no culture. It's just
I don't care about the economics. The people are just nasty. But my favorite was the neighbors, right? We had these neighbors who just constantly having a domestic and always crapping on their son, Benji. It's like, Benji, get inside, Benji. Oh, for fuck's sake, Benji. And Benji's just always in trouble. And every time I would go outside, they were having a fight where the dude's leaving and the lady is saying, well, leave then. And he's like, I'm leaving. And it's like, but you haven't left. And the next day they're still having the same fight. But then this guy, I hear the sound of a person with a loudhailer and they're like missioning up the road. And it's like probably something political or religious, like, and then like walk a bit more and then it gets softer. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then like this dude goes outside and he starts to swear and he's like, you're causing a fucking disturbance. You're doing me head in. Dropping the C word. You're effing C word. Effing C word. You're causing a disturbance. And I'm like, bro, the loud hand of the oak is barely audible. There are children playing with toy machine guns, calling each other fat and stupid in the road. And you're standing in front of them, shouting every swear word that exists. And a dude, like, I'm like, do you not understand that, like, such profanity among playing children is more of a problem than a dude with a... But other than that, it's been a fantastic trip.
Well, Congo Chris says Manchester is the Brakpan of England, but that's not fair because in Brakpan at least people have backyards and at least they have some space and they may have a dog chained to something and their children may be chained to something else. But at least in South Africa you've got a bit of room and some sun most of the year. It must be fucking depressing there in winter. Yeah, I mean, if you're complaining about it in summer, Gord, it must be awful in winter.
They actually had weather that was a little bit too good. I was there in the middle of like a proper heat wave and it's like just like hot Joburg. But I've been to Brakpan and there's things about it that are quite nice. I'd take 5 months in Brakpan over another week in Manchester.
It just sounds like the working class Truman Show that you've been stuck in.
Yeah.
I thought for a moment that like it was a joke and Leon Schuster was going to jump out and say something not funny and my friends would have set me up like, yeah, you're actually in like an airport industria. It's all a trick.
I have to ask you both this question because, you know, each country has their PR arm, you know, and some of it makes the news in a good way and some of it makes the news in a bad way. If you think of countries like, you know, Denmark, everything works and people are beautiful and they're healthy and they run on clean energy and... they have social welfare for everybody. No one's poor. You can get your kids educated. You can go to a hospital and they'll fix your broken arm, all that kind of shit. They've got some really good kind of PR, but their cultural PR is also very good. Like Danish people are friendly. They have their own music. They have their own little national outfit. And when you think of Denmark, you think of a certain thing. How did England get away with good PR, like the Queen and, you know, London and flowers and pretty country houses, when they're real, the real England, the working class England is more like the Manchester you just described now. How did they get that right? Because there might be a lesson for
England.
There might be a lesson for South Africa that English working class people are the most dreadful people on earth, Gord. They are absolutely abominable. They sound
only a bad experience. I haven't been
they
everywhere.
They sound
in England,
horrible.
But the only bad experience.
They look horrible.
And it's
they're violent. They only care about football. They have absolutely no manners. They behave themselves abominably. English working class people are probably the worst working class people on planet Earth. And yet England manages to get this really good reputation. I don't know how they do it.
I don't like to throw stones from that glass house as a bit of a working class person by background. And I also have had nothing but a good experience in England. I mean, some places are nicer than others and some parts of London are nicer than others. I haven't been everywhere. But I found the contrast between Manchester and everywhere else I've ever been in England. So whether you think England is nice or not, whether you think working class English people are nice or not, the ones in Manchester are very, very different. And right next to them are like one town and one other city that I went to that would seem normal. Yeah, so it's like I'm not doing a sweeping generalization about the British. This is a whole nother planet. I don't understand what happened. I honestly feel like I might have been on bad mushrooms the whole week.
I'm telling you now, there is nothing worse on planet Earth than working class Englishmen. And I'm allowed to say, I don't care. I don't care if they try to cancel me over that, or if somebody thinks I'm being unkind or super judgmental. Go ahead. Prove me wrong is all I'll say. Chavs are the fucking worst thing that has ever come to humanity.
Well, I think there's a lot more about England that's nice. It's decent people. And yeah, stay away from Slough and Manchester. And there's certain places that are shit, Leicester. But ultimately, Gareth, it's like anywhere you go, the people who are the most shit make the most noise and make the most impression. Think how many shit people we have in this country. Far less than the good ones. But the good ones keep to themselves. Like, they go about their business, you know?
Yeah, I had a fantastic time in the rest of England. I mean, I was mostly in London, various parts of it. I thought it was fantastic. I thought Dublin was fantastic. Edinburgh, which is obviously part of the UK, not England, but just there, is just amazing. Honestly, one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. Amazing people. Yeah. I was sad to leave, and then I went from that straight to Manchester.
Have you
met?
Like
the train went through a portal to hell.
Oi, have you met any nice girls while you've been in Manchester, eh?
Not even a single one. No, none that didn't terrify me. I did.
I did meet
some lovely people though in Scotland, which was really cool. I mean, Edinburgh I think would be paradise, but I got the feeling that like, it was summer and the weather was mostly good, but a little bit shit. I even swam in the sea, which was like swimming in the sea in Cape Town, except you stay cold when you get out of the water. I met some amazing people there, and I just couldn't believe that a 4-hour train mission went through a portal. Do you remember Event Horizon, the movie with the spaceship?
Yeah.
My train went through the Event Horizon portal and came out in Manchester.
Ben, what did you want to ask?
Oh, God, are you on dating apps there?
I was, yeah. It's also, dating apps were an experiment for me. I met a lovely person, a lady person in Edinburgh, and we hung out for like a week, and it was really good. It almost, like, so I had one good experience. Everything else about dating apps has been an absolute nightmare. It's like a portfolio for how shit humanity is. It's also why are we like being discriminatory and saying nasty things about a place? Dating apps have made me realize that like horrific people are everywhere. The stuff that people open with, firstly, wine. That's like humanity's uniting, bonding social factor. Like everyone's like, about me. You've got 200 characters and you start with wine, and then if you're a con man, don't try me. Like, oh shit, I was about to like be an identity theft person, but I saw you say don't do it on your profile, and everyone's like pictures of themselves drinking. It's utterly depressing. Like, I'm surprised that I'm shocked that there's so many unifying shitnesses about humanity that are like in all countries on dating apps. So I went on 2 dates in London, decided I was going to shelve this thing, like it's too depressing. And then I kind of went on one semi-redeeming one in Edinburgh, but I haven't even bothered with it since, because people just, it's a little advert for how uninteresting you are and how no priorities you have.
Yeah.
Watching Netflix, having an ice cream, and wine, 5 exclamation points.
It is no, so funny because
no, and everybody wants you to be a certain height.
Yeah. Everything you just said there is so true. It's like, can you imagine how, like, just imagine like someone said, you know what, you can give a TED talk about yourself, or, you know, the Graham Norton show wants to have you on. So just prepare, make sure you got everything in line about how great your life is. Mm-hmm. And you sit down and go, I like coffee, I like wine, I watch Netflix. Yeah. Please don't lie. Be honest. All I care about is if you can be honest to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Every like, fucking dating app.
Height, you know, height 1.8 meters.
Yeah, like I'm looking for someone to treat me right and buy me things, and basically I do fuck all, and this is just you must be happy with that.
Right.
And then this is like the one raised foot Instagram post. You know, like you can't be in a photo without lifting your one heel. And it's like you get two types of people at the photos, right? The person who's never ever used a camera before is using a Nokia 3210 with a 1 megapixel camera, and it's like half of their face, and it's like not in proper resolution, or they've had a professional professional photo shoot done with a pout and the one raised foot. And it's like, that's not obviously your actual life. But people, the things that people lead with, like I think about it a bit. I'm like, look, I don't want to like run a list. I don't want to try and make it sound like a paragraph about how amazing I am, because that's kind of disingenuous. I'm not that amazing. I can't like, it's always external things, right? I like these TV shows. That
let me ask you this. I mean, if you had to, because I often do this to myself, I force myself to do it, and it's a really fucking cool way of checking how well you know the people that you care about. Like, if I'm at a party and someone new comes in, I introduce them to everybody on purpose, right? So first of all, you have to remember everyone's name, which is a good start. If they're your friends,
you're really good at that, Garrett.
You're supposed to know their name.
Remembering everyone's name.
So the second thing is that you say something about each of them. Now, I'll say, you know, this mate of mine has got this really successful business or whatever. I could say that, or I say, you know, he's an arms dealer or whatever, just so that I can make it more interesting. But then you find one thing about each of these people that you like, and you can probably describe a lot of your friends in one or two sentences, and you should be able to. Otherwise, why are they your friends if you don't know anything about them?
Such a good thing to try.
I mean, it's
so good to try this.
So when I hear about these dating apps, and you know I've never been on any of them, and thank God, because it sounds like absolute hell by the sound of things. It's just like it's the worst place to be. Like, the dating apps must make you dislike people more than like them, and that's the whole point of them, is to make you like them. I don't understand.
But what's depressing about it for me is that, like, people, I don't know whether it's just like not everyone's a professional. I try to have some empathy and be like, look, not everyone's a professional communicator. Not everybody can spell. It's like everybody has redeeming things about them. But when asked what you want to lead with, you talk about external things that you do and don't like. Also in the UK, no Tories is like a big thing. Like, I don't like this. I don't want someone who's just trying to do that. I don't want mean people.
No, I don't mind.
It's like, okay, so you.
I don't mind if you've got 14 children. I don't mind if you wear tracksuit to work every day. Don't mind if you fight in the street with ex-husband. But don't be a Tory.
Like, wine? And, like, literally, I love wine. I don't drink. Really, no problem with people who do, as long as it's not the only thing about you, and it's not like detrimental and harmful, and you don't beat your kids or anything. But just, like, if you open with "I like wine" and you just sourced in every picture, it's like somebody's going through their entire social history looking for the best pictures of them, and maybe they want to like look like they're fun or they've got a lively social life.
Yeah,
but like it's just booze, and then. I don't want any liars. Like, some liar is going to be like, oh, I'm about to lie to this person. And they're like, oh, shit. No liars. Oh, damn. I was about to come in with that.
Again.
No Tories. So it's things that you don't want.
Yeah.
And then superficial things like, must own your own house. And like I own my house. I love wine.
So
I watch Netflix. And I like to go. To travel.
We're only
like,
about two
what
steps.
What about you? These are God. You like that aren't you. What about
How far do you think we are off of people actually saying no immigrants, no pikeys? I mean, no Tories is reason. No Tories is a reason for you to try and find a date with someone. Your barrier to entry is so low. If the only thing that you don't
and there's
want
also a lot of
is that
a lot of work politics stuff like. And also the stupid personality acronyms, INJTF. Like, so basically you're making a pastiche of things that aren't you, right? So like, Gareth, who are you as a person? Tell me really quickly. And you go, right, my example would be, all right, I am Manchester United, Metallica, Mortal Kombat, keto dieting, love of travel, burgers. Like, none of that's actually you. It's things you like,
yes,
or things you don't like.
Yes.
You have not a sentence to say about yourself.
It's great.
And wine.
It's to go back to what I started this hour with. It's Greta Thunberg. We don't know anything about this girl's personality at all. We only know the things she likes and the things she's passionate about and she stands for, because that's the replacement for a personality. People don't have personalities anymore. They don't have character.
I have no problem with Greta Thunberg. I don't know enough about
no,
it.
No, no,
she seems sweet when I saw her angrily ranting. I just don't have an opinion.
She's not sweet, and angrily ranting young ladies are not exactly the most attractive kind. Furthermore, I don't think that parents raise a child to become a grumpy, sullen, scolding youth. The parents should also be called to order about that. But it's not about Greta. People in general, even older people, people in their 40s even, don't have personality. So they replace it with a whole bunch of other bullshit from politics and culture. And as you rightly put it, music, movies, whatever, they try to identify themselves by what they like because they don't have a personality. That's the truth.
Also, like, you know, in terms of the whole Manchester thing, I found it from a more on like a 1% serious click. I was excited about the fact that it's like really diverse. There's like people of all different colors and shades and from around the world, but they're just all nasty. Whereas you come here to Holland and like, I really enjoy Dutch people for their like dry sense of humor and how polite they are. Like, oh, you know, oh, it's fine. You're like, everything's a pleasure and it's like nothing ever phases anybody, but there's people from all around the world. And I find that with London as well, like, and Edinburgh, you meet people from everywhere. And I really, really enjoy that. It's like everywhere's got nice people. Everywhere's got shit people and all the shit ones move to Manchester and the rest travel London and Holland and everywhere. It's like, I couldn't work it out. So many different kinds of horrible.
Well,
but the dating app is just depressing. Like, people are, you've got your priorities in 250 characters, and it's horrific.
So, Ben, you've been on the dating apps for a while. Do you agree with Gord about this stuff and how people represent themselves? Because this is an interesting discussion. I haven't drawn up a biography of myself for a long time, but you have to do this. You have to, like, advertise yourself. So how do you market yourself on social media, and what is the biggest mistake all these people make?
Being unattractive, Gareth. That's the big mistake that they all make.
Oh, that's cool. I've made that mistake
let's
as well. I mean, my bio is pretty good.
I mean, if you look like you'd be dropped down 4 flights of stairs, I think you're ready. You can say whatever you want. You can be as charming as you wish. It's not going to work. Now, I threw the towel in on the dating apps a while ago. For me, it was entertaining. It really was, because one person's idea of funny or whatever could be another person's idea of absolute cringe anxiety. And we are quite all fucked up, really. I mean, I know I am in my own way. I've sort of almost like made myself undateable because I'm just so reclusive and in, I don't know, what's the word? I'm ordinary while being eccentric. Like, there's too many contradictions. So I can't actually apply myself to other people's lives very well. So how do I advertise that? It's like, I'm amazing, but probably not for you. You probably hate me, or I could be the one. Like, if I was to be honest, what am I going to say on these things? So basically what you try to do is, I think the whole thing about dating apps is just to be understanding that these are connection points, okay? So as I sit here in my lounge right here, I've got 2 cats, there's no single girls, but a dating app has single girls. So it's better than my lounge, right? But you're only going to get connection points.
I finally figured out where you were going there for a moment. I'm like, okay, what is Ben actually saying? So you're saying that there's like actually a pool to fish in, so to speak, whereas
yes,
it's
that's
better
all
than nothing.
You should all think about that. Don't think about what these people are like. Obviously, they're disasters because they're on dating apps.
Well, so am I, and so are you. And
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I'm a really, really great person.
This is exactly what I'm saying. It's like, I am a disaster in many ways. I'm the worst person for someone. I might be the best person for someone. I don't know. But I'm a fucking disaster like all the rest of them. So it actually doesn't matter what they say and how much wine they drink. If you like someone, like the look of them, you will endure all kinds of shit just to kind of see where it goes. So I think people should just say
I feel,
this is my face. This is my body.
I feel if I had to put together a really honest, like what I'm looking for biography type thing on dating apps,
I'd love to see that.
I'd
say, Benji, get inside, Benji. Stop making a bloody noise,
so,
Benji.
So
Benji,
I mean, for someone at my age, you want to find someone without baggage. So I would be upfront about that immediately. I'd be like, I don't want to meet people who have children from other men. Number one, sorry. Not interested in
but
that.
But dude, you would be doing something that's a problem for me, where people just list what they don't want.
Yes,
the type
I know.
Of man but, or but, person that they don't want.
Okay, but you've got to start with excluding what you don't want. Then you can focus on what you do, because people don't. You want to immediately say to people, the barrier to entry is this. I'm not advertising myself to everybody.
But that goes against what you're saying.
No,
it doesn't. That goes against what you're saying about personality. So basically, by saying no fucking single moms, you're basically saying wine. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, but
well,
there's
more
also
or less.
Filters for that. Like, that's another thing. You can choose. You can tell it what you are. There's like, so you got this little paragraph you can write about yourself or about things. Also, like saying what you're into is okay. I'm not saying what people can and can't do. It's just that it's such banal shit. It's like Netflix, ice cream, warm weather, wine, and 6 exclamation points. I swear to God, 80% of people start with wine. But there's places where you can actually say, like, have children, looking to have more, don't want any,
yes, okay,
looking to date,
right,
looking it's, for lighthearted.
Listen,
so you can actually build that.
Let me
that.
Be clear. I am not... I would not go on there to advertise myself to all and sundry. I'm not available to all and sundry. I'm not interested in meeting new people just for the fact that they're new people. I'm going to be very particular about what kind of people I want to meet. If I go onto an app like this, I'm going to say no fat people. I'm going to say no unemployed people. I'm just not interested. Sorry. And then if you fulfill at least those basic filter categories, then let's talk about my personality, because there isn't even a game going on until that.
But you've got, for me, right, the reason to not do that, aside from the fact that it's negative and defeatist, is that you've got the ability to swipe away. You don't have to start a conversation
with
everybody.
It's not negative. This is why I'm not on these things, but it's not negative and defeatist. All it is I'm saying, look, I'm really not here because I need this. I'm here because it might add an extra 10% happiness to my life. But if I leave the app and I don't find anybody, I'm going to carry on being happy anyway. I'm not like everybody else on here who's just desperate to get with somebody because they hate being alone.
Well, I went on 2 dates in London, and I went on 1 in Edinburgh, and the 2 in London were disastrous. Like, the 1 was just immediately, like, a bit awkward. Like, you knew straight away, oh, God, this is going to be the last night. And the other one, she sat me down, like, as if I had already signed up and said, like, I'm totally into you. You're as amazing as you think you are. I am sold, and I'm really keen on you. She's like, right, these are the terms and conditions. Like, we're going to sleep together, but, like, it's going to be like this, this, and this. And then for half an hour, she told me, like, as if I had applied for a job and wrote, please, 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 oh, please, at the bottom. No other conversation, just right. The terms and conditions under which, how I would behave right. Now that I've won the lottery, and if I'd like to accept my ticket. So that's another thing people do there. They're like, nothing about me. Like, I'm obviously the shit. I'm obviously the best. But if you're going to, like, make this work, you need to do that, and that. So people don't realize there's a counter sell. Like, by virtue of you existing, obviously I'm giving you a 10. And I just would love to know what I have to do to not screw it up.
So one
was like a nice enough lady and we had a dinner. And the other one, I just listened for half an hour. And I was like, okay, like, did someone call you saying they were me and agree that they like you, or are you just, like, so presumptuous?
I mean, here's a good point. Like Captain Cook says, very important in a dating app, no AIDS, right? We don't want AIDS. So you got AIDS? I'm not interested. I'm in total agreement with Captain Cook there. I'm like, AIDS is a deal breaker. Congo Chris says,
Gareth, there was not...
I'm looking for a partner and you're looking for a stepdad to support you and your child. We're probably not that compatible. So that's a good one.
But there was another great message there about, like, good luck with that at your age. And it's actually true, because when we, like, so put it this way, if we were in our 20s, okay, and we were on dating apps, we wouldn't be saying any of this shit right now. We'd be saying something stupid like mispronouncing a quote or telling a dad joke and seeing what goes with the wind. And that's where we've got options. Yeah, but that's where we had options. So now, when you're older, you have less options. I mean, this is the thing. Like, the only reason I got into dating apps is like, well, fuck, where are you going to meet people? Where are you going to find connection points? I might as well have rolled the dice here. But where we are so fussy, and we have so many other sort of variables that we are just not interested in. AIDS aside. I find though, like now we're even more picky, despite we got less options. It's such.
I find that as I've gotten older, like I'm like a bit of a strange example because I kind of age forward and backward in big leaps, but psychologically and physically. But like I find it easier to get laid if that's what I'm trying to do,
yeah.
And I find it easier to like go on a date and feel comfortable and be like, look, whether this works or doesn't work, sure. You know, it's chilled for me to have a date. Like, unless it's God awful, like the one who like said to me, like, you know, well done on winning the lottery of life and being on a date with me. I've sort of more or less accepted you, but here are the terms and conditions. And I'm like, at what point do I get to tell you how you have to behave in order to make it work with me? But like, I've found that in my 20s, when I was single for a chunk there at the end, I was mostly not single in my 20s. Like, it was awkward and you were very nervous and it was like, you know, there was a lot of social bullshit, like what my friends are into, what social scenes I'm into. Now I just find it's actually a lot easier. It's still horseshit and difficult and far more misses than hits. But I don't know, like, I think if getting laid is what I'm after, I can do it more easily than when I was 29.
So Ethan says, bars, sports clubs, work, fuck, I even met a woman in my complex the other day. Women are everywhere. So he says it's not so difficult.
Where do you live, Ethan? Where do you live and how low are your standards?
I think if you just go outside with a bottle of wine and just like a sign that says free, if you like me, you'll be fine, because apparently that's the most interesting thing about 80% of people on earth is they like wine.
So, man. Gord, it's coffee until 12, wine after 12. So basically, you just need a holster for two liquid devices.
Yeah, I mean, this
hot coffee in the morning.
This tells you how imagine that. I mean, this is how absolutely awful a lot of people's lives really are. And again, I go back to the fact that I think a lot of these people just have no personality. I mean, they couldn't tell you about a good book they've read because they haven't ever read a good book. They can't tell you about some deep and profound thing that they're interested in because they've never really been interested in a deep and profound thing. They just want to get a bottle of Chardonnay after 12 and sit with the other girls and complain about our husbands or our ex-husbands or our children called Benja.
But there's also a lack of sort of understanding of kind of what the sort of market, from a marketing perspective, what the sell is, because people are interacting, they're talking to the app and not necessarily to the potential candidate. So there's like, I'm not interested in your abs. If you're a picture of someone working out, I don't want to know about it. Like, don't post this and this. And they basically have like gone through an experience like Ben and I will have gone through, where you're swiping and you just keep face palming, like, oh my God, another one of these. Oh my God, another one of these. And then you describe what profiles you're not after.
So tell me what you'd be.
You've got to talk about something to do with yourself.
All right, hold on, Gord. So tell me from both of your points of view, maybe there are other people in the comments who can join in on this thing.
We have to open up some of these comments. They're on fire here.
Hold on. So apart from someone looking really good in their picture, what could they say to get your attention? What kind of thing might make you go, ooh, okay, that's interesting? Would it be like a funny liner, a sense of humor, something self-deprecating? What would it be that would get your attention?
A little, yeah, those work well for me. Like the ones where it's like a bit of a joke, the one where like you say a little bit of something about who you are. And like a lot of people, it's kind of like an easy fallback, so you don't get any extra points for originality. But when people are like, God, I don't know what to say in this thing, I guess I'm supposed to like say that I own my own house or something. Like there's a bit of like fourth wall breaking.
If I were a girl and I were looking for a guy like you or Ben, I'd say something like, old husband, divorced, no baggage, new tits, ready to take on the world. Would that be interesting?
No, because I can see, firstly, if you're on
the... depends what she looks like, Gord. Obviously, it'll be interesting if she's attractive.
But I mean, if that's what you describe,
guys.
Photograph, if you describe, because I can see what you look like. I know you're most likely single because you're on the app. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're cheating. But like, these are things I can assume. Like, hey, world, I'm ready to date again. Here I am on a dating app, and I have brown hair and boobs. I'm like, okay, I can see you're on a dating app. I can see you have brown hair. You're holding wine in front of your boobs most pictures, but like I can see that they're there. It's like me going, male, 40, have tattoos, color of my eyes, have a nose, a mouth, and two arms. It's like,
Well,
I know.
How about this? I mean, this sounds like the perfect line. This is great. Captain Cook says barista in the morning, barman in the evening. That's the way to go, right? Because then you hit the most important things. It's alarming that women only want fluids from us, says Chris.
I'm gonna open mind in future with like Pepsi Max !! Sandwiches.
Yeah. Here's a good point from Tracy. She says, when you're on a dating app, always remember this. What is the difference between a squirrel and a rat? Marketing. That's about right.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm.
Damn right. I think everyone should try dating apps at some stage because it's a reflection on you as well. And the fact that people always go like, you know, I'm just looking for someone nice, whatever. Bullshit. You want to find someone attractive. This is the whole thing because you can be extra subjective because online. If you're meeting people at speed dating, whatever, you might want to see what they're talking about. But you've got to be extra subjective on this thing because that's just how it is now. If someone doesn't bowl you over in 3 seconds, what are you going to dig for?
Well,
it's a bit of a shit show, man.
Where are you going next?
It is a bit of a shit
show. Where are you off to next?
Where am I going next? Mm. I am in Holland this week. I arrived on Sunday and I leave on the coming Friday. I'm going to Greece for an actual holiday. This whole thing working. Like the main sort of thing about accommodation, whatever, is like dedicated workspace, good internet. So by day, I'm just doing my job. I work fully remotely. And in the evenings, if it's not too late of a day and I don't want to just chill at home, I go and touristy around where I am. Hmm. And on the weekends, I try to tourist around where I am. But I'm going from Holland. I'm in Utrecht, which is just one of the most magnificent places in the whole world. I absolutely love it here. I'm going to Greece with one of my best friends for an actual like 11-day holiday. So from Friday to the following Monday, I'm off. And then I go to Stuttgart to stay with great friends of mine for 4.5 weeks and then to Frankfurt for another week and a half and then back. Oh. So I went London, Dublin, Edinburgh,
Manchester,
Utrecht, Greece, Stuttgart, Frankfurt, and then home in September.
Well, you could probably leave Frankfurt out. It's a fucking boring dump, that. That's like Germany's Manchester.
I like to find out, even if a place isn't great. And I've been to some places that were Hamburg, less great than others.
Hamburg is Germany's Manchester. So just quickly.
The only place that made me sad was Manchester.
You put your arm back just now. You have got really almightily thin, my friend. You have lost a shit ton of weight. What do you weigh at the moment? You must be like a tenth of the man you once were.
Thank you, I think.
I don't know if
mightily thin is the case. I'm pretty sort of medium-sized for an adult human, but I haven't weighed myself in a while. But when I did in the first 3 months I was in England, I accidentally lost weight. I didn't intend to lose because I was just eating on the run all the time. But I'm at about 85, 87 kilos now.
Dude, that's
from about 230, 240.
You now weigh less than I do. And I've been criticizing fat people the whole time. It just shows you, again, I'm not to make too fine a point of this, but you know, you're in charge of your life. And Gord, I'm not going to speak for you, but in this case, I just am so full of admiration for people who can turn it around and go from fat to thin and get themselves in a healthy state of affairs. It's just tremendous. It makes me so goddamned happy. And I can see you're having a better time.
Oh, Gareth, I mean, I know you like to do the whole fat shaming thing, whatever, and you get a lot of shit for it. But I will say I've known you since 2006, I think I met you. And you've always been nothing but cool to me. And when we've discussed things in private, whatever, you've never treated me. You've always treated me like really nicely. So when I hear you like ripping fat people on air, I always think to myself, well, Gareth's actually a sweetheart. And once you like, he's not going to not be friends with you for this reason. So I almost call bullshit on your fat shaving because it's for shock and humor value.
When you were listening to me, it was the only times you weren't eating before. But I mean, now look at you.
I just kind of discovered the roots of the problem, and I'm trying to make the best of a second or even third, I guess, opportunity at life. Like, this is why I'm financially devastating myself, traveling and staying in really shitty motels like this one that have internet and a working shower.
I don't think there's a person in South Africa, whether they're rich or poor, old or young, that isn't looking at what you're doing right now and going, that's actually quite fucking cool that he's doing all of this stuff. Now, I've got to stop the conversation at this point because we've got to bring Borge in. We usually close off the show on a Friday morning with Borge, which is always cool because it means that Friday is finally here and the weekend is upon us. Hello, Borge. How are you?
Oh, my God. It's gorgeous, George Meany. Sigh. Dude, why isn't there a dating app with just you on it?
No, thanks. How's it going? How's it been? And Gareth?
George.
What's happening, George?
Besides the cold, quite a lot, actually.
Looks like you've got power. Are you off the grid completely? Is that your thing, too?
Yeah, pretty much.
Smart man.
Pretty much.
All right.
Pretty much. It's actually load shedding here right now. And
you wouldn't know.
I do because my stove, the only thing I don't have connected to, there's two parts to the inverters. Like, I don't want to get technical, but there's two parts to the inverters. The one is runs what's called the primary load, which is light plugs. And then the secondary load, which is your stove, your geysers, and the heavy stuff.
That's the heavy stuff.
You can run both through them. You can run both through the inverters if you want, but you don't have to. So when the electricity goes off, my clock on the oven goes off. So I know that it's load shedding when that clock goes off.
Oh, well, at least then you can spare a thought for those of us who don't have off-the-grid power. So George goes past his oven and he goes, oh, those poor people. They obviously had load shedding while I was enjoying myself. All right, Borge, what do you got for us today?
Well, Gareth, I don't know if you have ever noticed your your windscreen on your car has these little black dots on the edge.
Yes.
I've always wondered what those are about.
Well, I'm about to tell you, Gord.
Oh, yes.
Those black dots are actually a ceramic edge baked into the windscreen, and then it kind of like gets less and less and less via the dots, because if that ceramic edge was not on the windscreen would actually shake and fall out of the car's frame.
Good Lord.
So you need the ceramic edge in order for the car's windscreen to stay in place. It's a safety thing.
Hmm.
So it's like a grip thing.
I think it's more ceramic is hard and it's more of a rigid thing because it's meeting metal.
I would expect also that it's got something to do with contraction and expansion, because you've got metal which does contract and expand. You've got glass which really doesn't, and not unless there's huge temperature differences. And then the ceramic in between helps to just create that bridge between the two materials. It's interesting though.
Yeah. Sorry. It's actually a ceramic enamel baked into the glass. Okay. It's a combination of a whole bunch of stuff. So very interesting. And I think you're right. I think the transition between the glass, because I read somewhere, I don't know how true this is. So, if you know the real answer, please tell me. But I read somewhere a long time ago that glass is actually a liquid.
Yeah. Well,
and
yeah. Okay.
So,
glass is actually a liquid. Just go back a step there.
Well, if you look at old stained glass windows, it looks like the glass gets thicker at the bottom and is thinner at the top.
With time, it like settles.
With time, it just settles, which is, I suppose, for lack of a better word, a liquid. So I suppose the point is that it's a lot. It moves a lot more than rigid surfaces like metal or ceramic or enamel, and that's why they have to create this transition between the glass and the metal.
Yeah, no, it's sort of halfway between a solid and a liquid, but that's a complicated discussion for another day, and we're not going to talk too much about whether glass is a liquid or a solid right now because there are other things that we have to tick off the list. What else you got for us?
It can change depending on how you talk to it and if you look at it just right. I'm going to solidify my window with this look. That's like if you look hot enough, you can actually shatter your... Yeah, never mind.
Shut up, Gord.
That's got to do with sound, Gord, not with how you look.
Ah, that explains things also.
What comes out of your mouth, I guess. They've developed a microchip, Gareth, that they tested in a paraplegic man. This man is paralyzed from his waist down. And he can't use his legs or his hands. And they developed this microchip that they implanted in his brain. And he controlled a NASCAR for many laps after they developed this microchip. The little sip straw over here on his face controls the brake pedal. And his head, when he moves it, controls the direction of the car. And then when he thinks, he can control the accelerator. And apparently he went around the NASCAR circuit for many, many laps, just controlling the car with his mind and with some of his movements.
I would hazard that it would be more worthwhile to actually give that to an able-bodied person and see how much better they can drive, because...
You're such a dick. Jeez, like. But isn't this a Neuralink thing? Isn't this what one of Elon Musk's jaws with the? It's, is it the same thing, or is it a different person?
Yeah, tested on the company. Tested
on a different company.
Tested on the best. You know, this is why like pharmaceuticals should be tested on the best athletes, so that we can see what it does at the extreme far end of what humans are capable of. Not at the like
athletes test pharmaceuticals on themselves, dude. They don't need the medical company.
It should be legal and it should be encouraged. That's my point of view. Anyway, yes, George, that's terrific. So we're getting to a point now where someone who can't move their arms and legs, probably because of a car accident, is going to find themselves able to drive a car again. Great.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right.
I think
right.
It's amazing, and I think it's, like, super wonderful, and I'm, like, not a dick about it. So, George, I like your story, and I'm really happy that that person is able to
someone
kind of
that,
drive a
yeah,
car.
And you know I what? We'll see how you feel, the guy with the sippy straw is sitting behind you trying to apply the brakes, but his tongue is stuck.
This is, you are such a dick. It's unbelievable.
Well, this gentleman, actually, imagine how scary this must have been for him, because
for his passenger,
he actually lost... Well, he became a paraplegic because he had a car accident
right.
some years before.
So what do we do?
So
we put him. We put
must
him,
have been for him.
We put him in back in a car. This is the worst decision ever, George.
Well, we got to. You know, it's like riding a bicycle, Gareth. You got to get back on the bloody thing. You know.
I haven't been on the show in like 6 weeks, and Gareth's become so much more of a dick. Like he was a dick before, but now he's had like dick enhancement surgery.
It's the outfit. It's a new outfit he's got. That's why.
You're working hard to get yourself invited back, aren't you, Laws?
Yeah, can't wait. We can go. We're going after paraplegic people today. What are we going to go after next?
All right. But look, I mean, okay. So impressive technology. Cool. The guy can drive the car with his lips and mind and mouth. Great.
Aside from that nastiness and whatever, but the idea that like technology is getting to the point where a computer thing can talk to organic brain thing.
Yes, it's very impressive.
For whatever applications you do or don't want to use it for, that is pretty amazing. Like that's really, it's kind of scary and also I think kind of great.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. And it's,
it is terrific.
It is scary and it's brilliant.
I'm just concerned that we're testing it out on the wrong people. That's all.
I will definitely assimilate. You know, people are like, you know, when they put in the microchips and stuff, like, I'm not going to be involved. It's like, as soon as your favorite crap celebrity that badly sings something says you should, you will. But also, like, I will immediately assimilate.
Yes,
I'll
too.
Betray the organic humans.
Yep.
I will work for the robot overlords, and I will be there. You know, in The Matrix, there's the dude that, like, you know, it's like a plant for them, and he just wants to, like, eat nice food and go back to living in The Matrix where he can be rich.
Borge.
I'll be that guy.
Borge.
I'm like...
Shut up, Gord. Borge, yes. Show us your coffee mug again, please. A lot of people are talking about. What does that say? Oh, wow. It says fuck, 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 fuck. That's amazing. What a great mug. I love that. All right. Someone mentioned that we need to see your mug again. So there we go. All right. So what's the last thing from you, Gord? I mean, Borge. And then we can get to Gord's last thing.
So talking about useless technology or useless things, I don't know if you've ever seen or heard of a guy by the name of Tom Scott. Now, Tom Scott makes YouTube videos for the sake of it, testing out useless things or useless things to do. So he created this buggy where the seats are facing the opposite way around, a Gordmobile. There's a screen over there, and you control this buggy with a PlayStation remote control, and it drives well, forward, but you sit backwards. And apparently the human brain does get used to this way of driving.
So you drive it backwards, basically.
You drive it backwards, yes.
Let me ask all of you, because we've got George here, and we talk a little bit about cars on a Friday, and it's always interesting. There's always something new that we get to learn here. Do you use the screen that shows you your reverse camera? Do you ever use that when reversing, or do you still use the mirrors and the old school, like turning your neck around?
I think over time, I know over time that I now rely on that screen almost 99% of the time.
You, Ben?
I don't have that screen, but my car is also the same size as me, so I can see everything anyway. It's great.
I also have never had one of those because my cars aren't fancy enough, and for the last like 8 months, I haven't owned one. I sold it when I moved to Cape Town and literally forgot to buy a new one, and then I was like, I'm going overseas soon, so I'll do it later. I should probably get a car that has these things because I need something to put on my dating app, and like I've got a car with a camera at the back is probably a good start.
You just need a wine bottle in the picture of the car.
Yeah, that's great.
Wine and a nice car. Right.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's been a fun morning. I hope you've enjoyed being with us today, and we will see you on Monday at 6 a.m. bright and early. Gordo, have a good trip to wherever you're going next. Greece yet or
don't go to Manchester, dudes. Don't
go to Manchester is a very important takeaway from this morning, as well as always loathe the working class. Ben, anything from you?
I'll see you at Loftus tomorrow. Yes, whoever's going. Yes. What a day it's going
to
be.
What a day. Ben is so looking forward to being on the Oostpaviljoen with the smell of boerewors. Aggressive Afrikaans folks who've had too much Brannewijn and Coke, and a really good rugby match, let's hope. And George, you won't be going to Loftus, will you?
Oh, no, I won't. I'll be sitting on my couch, maybe even looking for Ben in the crowd.
Okay, well, that's probably
happiest
a bit
guy. Just fine. I'll be the happiest guy.
All right, and for the rest of us, let's keep warm. Let's hope that we have some electricity over the weekend, and we will see you on Monday. Have an excellent weekend. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.